is Tennessee Talks with United States Congressman Tim Burchett.
Everybody, I'm Congressman Tim Burchett. Welcome back to another episode of Tennessee Talks. We've had a lot of horrible things that have happened in Upper East Tennessee and North Carolina, and of course down in Florida now too with these hurricanes. But I want to talk a little bit about the latest update I received from the Tennessee National Guard. You hear that dog? That's Theo. That's the office dog. He's wonderful, but he's a big puppy. The National Guard has had 541 soldiers and airmen supporting the response and recovery operations in East Tennessee. And the Joint Task Force Logistics transported 492 pallets of water to the East Tennessee Donation Center in Bristol, Tennessee. And to date, Task Force Logistics has distributed more than 500,000 pounds of supplies to more than five counties. And to date, the Joint Task Force engineer has searched and cleared 42 debris piles. And, you know, they have to, there's environmental concerns. And, of course, the most horrible thing is there could be bodies in there, so they have to do all that, which is tough work. And they've moved 580 dump truck loads, which really is a humongous amount, but it's a drop in the bucket, as you know, of what we're going to have to do. It'll be years that they'll be working on this. And the Tennessee National Guard Mobile Communications Center has installed 10 Starlink systems, and they said they're prepared to continue supporting the Tennessee Emergency Management Agency, TEMA, which has really done good work, and they've been on the ground very early before the feds got there, of course. And the Task Force Aviation remains at McGee Tyson Airport and has two UH-60 Black Hawk helicopters ready for medical evacuation and resupply missions. And they currently have one pending request for aviation support. And I'd like to really say thank you to the Tennessee National Guard for all they're doing in East Tennessee. I would really like to see at some point where we use the federal organizations just to flow through and not so much micromanaging and slowing things down. I talked to a sheriff, last Friday, and they told me that their county they'd just seen FEMA that day, and they were talking 2 weeks out. So it's just not, to me, that's not acceptable. I was able to talk to a friend of mine over in Middle Tennessee, Nashville, and he was able to get with Jeremy Faison and Diana Harshberger. Diana's the congresswoman up there, and Jeremy's a state rep buddy of mine up there, and he's been on the ground every day. We're able to get to more Starlink over there, and that's Elon Musk's deal with the satellite, and you don't have to have the towers and everything, so it's working out really well. We're still working on legislation. Last week, I introduced legislation to protect American military stockpiles, and it's called the Safeguarding Our Stockpiles Act. And when the Presidential Drawdown Authority, the PDA, was enacted, and that was back in 1961, the intent was to use this authority as a last resort measure to ensure our country was protected. But as things go in Washington, they push it. And they pushed it on this. And since 2021, the Biden administration, I feel like they've abused this authority and used their loopholes in the statute to do things like arm Ukraine with nearly $24 billion worth of U.S. equipment in 57 separate drawdowns. And could you imagine them able to do that for FEMA? $24 billion would have been, and if they could have cut the bureaucracy out and got that to the people, that would have been incredible. But instead, that money is going overseas, and that's just unacceptable. They've stripped down our stockpiles. They're bare. They left our country unprepared for future emergencies, which to me is even more troubling, that, again, we're stepping over Americans to take care of folks overseas. And people will say, well, that's a different organization. That's different money. The reality is that money comes out of one source, and that's out of your back pocket, yours and mine. And we tend to forget that in Congress. And because the poor people up in Upper East Tennessee, North Carolina, don't have a full-time lobbyist on job except for us in Congress. And unless you're in leadership or in the White House, you're not going to see that kind of movement. Anyway, the bill that I presented, it makes four changes to the existing Presidential Drawdown Authority statute to restore it to its original initial intent. And it provides a solid definition of what constitutes an unforeseen emergency. A lot of times they'll take these words and put them there, and at the time they don't have a lot of meaning, and nobody's really worried about them, and then they get a hold of it and they abuse it, and that's what they've done. This would have prevented the Biden administration from abusing the term to mean whatever they want, which they have been. It also prohibits the president from accessing more stockpiles than the U.S. has the capacity to replenish. Too many times we borrow things to give away to other folks, and that's currently what's happening in Ukraine and some of these other conflicts. And it automatically sunsets any unused drawdown authority at the end of the fiscal year, and that means it goes away unless it's reauthorized. It will require new authorization for future deliveries and prevents cases from remaining open indefinitely. We've seen this a lot of times in these budgets where they don't allow you to make cuts, and they suspend the rules and don't allow amendments. They fund programs that no longer exist and projects that no longer exist. And so you got to figure where the heck is that money going? And that'll take care of some of that. It goes into a black hole more or less, and I think that's where a lot of corruption is. It would also require Congress to approve every drawdown that exceeds the $100 million cap in a given year. That seems to be the accepted amount where that would go into effect. This is kind of the dirty stuff about government, and you won't hear about this in the news. Unfortunately, you should, when we're $35 trillion in debt, and every 100 days we add another trillion to the debt load. When people say, well, Burchett, you're not voting for aid for these poor people overseas. And I said, well, we're borrowing the money to do it. And we're seeing our own people go without. They got to jump through so many loops and hoops, I guess. People can qualify for $750, yet I saw where a lady, she'd lost everything and only qualified for $200 and wasn't even able to access that because she didn't have, guess what? She didn't have electricity. She didn't have a computer. And you got to get some of these bureaucrats out of these fancy motels and get them up there in some of these counties who have yet to see any federal engagement. And that's a disgrace. That's why I've told people, folks like Samaritan's Purse and some of these other groups that are doing the work up there, the churches, they're doing the work. I would hope that you would direct your funds to them, and I'd hope you'd research where you give. And please, as always, if somebody calls you and asks you to give, and you don't know who they are, it's a scam. Don't give anybody your credit card number, and don't give them your Social Security number. Don't agree to anything. If you think it doesn't sound legitimate, it's probably not. And we'll close out there, folks. I really appreciate y'all allowing me to be your congressman, and I'm Congressman Tim Burchett. I want to thank y'all for listening to another episode of Tennessee Talks. And as always, thank y'all for sending me here.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Tennessee Talks. Please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Keep up with Congressman Burchett by following Rep. Tim Burchett on Twitter and Instagram, and Congressman Tim Burchett on Facebook and YouTube.